We are going to be on the air with the Fanatic in Philadelphia. But first, let me tell you that the first annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Boston Bruins Foundation, the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center, with Patrice Bergeron and the Bruins, and our show is Thursday, February 15th at the Royale in Boston. You can bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins players. VIP tickets are $200, and they give you access to the autograph session. General admission tickets are $50. For all information and to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com/pucks.
Jerome Bettis walking through a moment ago.
Yeah. All right.
How about that? They're finally showing up.
All right. Are we ready to go here? All right.
Welcome aboard 985 Sports Hub. Tusher and Rick, our Beasley Media Group sister station in Boston.
0-2. You're 0-2 on names.
Yeah, that's 0-2 on
you
names.
You had Tusher and Rick on us. You're 0-2.
I can understand the Tusher, but the Rick is...
it's a simple four-letter name. It's Toucher and Rich.
All right, Toucher and Rich. All right. I had no idea. I was told Tusher and Rick. So Toucher and Rich, whatever. I don't really...
We're starting the razzing already. I'm not eating cheesesteaks for a month.
We're in the same vicinity. So the beauty is I can walk over there and slap it to you right now.
Where are you? Honestly, this is like weird because I think you're like 50 feet away.
Exactly.
And I don't know why this doesn't work. I'll wave to you.
Yeah. All right. What's up, boys?
What's up there, Anthony, Gergano?
Call me Penny. All right.
Okay.
All right. So let me ask you guys a question. So going into it, the prevailing thought out of Boston is that this is not one of the great of the dynastic teams, of these Patriot teams. Is that true? Do you believe that?
Yeah. This is a team that's flawed defensively. They lost their most important defensive player. And Hightower, other than their secondary, they're weak at linebacker. Their defensive line has been surprising, but it's really a bunch of no-names. So, yeah, this is not considered a great Patriots team. They lost Edelman. A lot of people thought this wasn't going to be a year where, I mean, they were going to win the division because the division sucks. But this was a year a lot of people thought that this would be down for them.
So how do you guys see, well, let's start here. How do you guys see the game playing out? I mean, is this a normal, because it's not one of these teams, is this abnormal for you guys going, well, you know what, this could be a loss for them, or are you going, it's still Brady Belichick and it's just what you guys do?
I've been burned by betting against the Patriots time and time again. They pull miracles out of their ass when you never think that they're going to.
Vampires, I know.
The team they play always covers, though. So, it's never a blowout.
Sure.
It's never
sure.
a blowout. So
we just don't know what
take
the hell.
The points. Don't take the points.
So what? We have no idea what the hell's going to happen with Nick Foles. We don't know. I mean,
I got this
week.
Neither did we.
Yeah.
And look. When he came out in Atlanta and his first pass, we wanted to yell pull after it.
Right.
In the second half of that Falcons game, Doug Peterson has done a masterful job, implemented a lot of RPO stuff. He got into a rhythm. And then in the Minnesota game, in the NFC Championship, he really kind of channeled Carson Wentz and was amazing. So we're kind of looking at it the same kind of way, which is, wow, he's got a lot of great confidence. So it gives you hope, but I don't know that he could duplicate what he did last or two Sundays ago.
Okay, so Peterson is in charge of the offense, basically, and Schwartz does whatever he wants to on the defense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so what always happens in these games is, regardless of talent, is that I don't know why it is, I don't know why it happens, but at some point, the opposing coach loses control of the game. It happened in Jacksonville, where they let... Very important play in the game where the play clock was running out. They got flagged for it. Marone.
Remember Kyle Shanahan in last year's Super Bowl.
Yes. Yeah.
The same thing.
Is it intimidation of Belichick?
I mean, they almost look across and they go, oh, my God, we're dealing with the hoodie. We're dealing with Belichick. Oh, my God, I'm going to forget what I do to get here.
Teams can't play 60 minutes against the Patriots, and it's the weirdest thing, and you'd think you'd be used to it by now, because it's happened at least, three times this year.
But I think one of the problems with it is that these teams have had coaches that specialize in one side of the ball, so if Peterson's got his head in, you know, worried about what the offense is doing, I mean, I can't make heads or tails of it. And then he make, because if you make one mistake, I mean, the Jaguars screwed up the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And, you know, that cost them.
But you know what Peterson did the end of the first half. Similarly,
yes,
they were going to get the ball. Right, they were going to get the ball in the second half. And they had a lead, so they easily could have did what Marone did and took a knee. But instead, he goes to Ajayi on a screen. It works. Let's go. Hurry up. We're gonna. And Peterson has been aggressive. And the one thing I'll say that he's different than a lot of coaches because he's aggressive. He also has a pretty good staff with him. Frank Reich works on the game plan. They have John DeFilippo, who's the quarterback's coach, who's pretty big when it comes to offense and play calling. So his head is in the game. So from that perspective, I don't think he's gonna shy. I mean, you know that Peterson was in the league for a long time. He knows everybody. Favre's going to talk to the team Saturday night. It's one of his best friends. So I don't think he's going to be completely afraid or overshadowed by
Belichick. I'm not saying he's going to be afraid. I'm just saying that there's always something in a game management perspective that seems to go wrong in these games, and they're always close. Do you have to deal with Jim Schwartz on a personal level?
Yeah, I mean, he's been cool.
He's a prick.
No,
he is such a prick.
And he's going to be your enemy. Because,
listen, I don't care either way. Schwartz is such a prick that at the
Maybe
Super
it takes
Bowl-
one to know one. I don't know.
Whoa!
Because right, I don't know. He's always been a gentleman to me.
Flamethrower on.
I'm glad you become
like
Kid's
joke. You want to come hurling pricks?
Did you just have a takes one to no one tag?
Literally,
what market are you in?
I'm rubber, you're glue.
Market of third grade.
All right, listen. No, I'll tell you what happened. I don't know why you're defending him so much, but here's
he's a prick. Admit it. Come on.
No, he's a fine defensive line.
Oh, you sound like a prick. I'm not going to tell you.
I am a prick.
I can tell. You're a typical radio jerk off, and I get it. Go ahead.
I don't know what's going on here. All right.
Am I supposed to be mad?
Drop the mic.
You're trying real hard.
You know what stinks? That bell with the crack in it.
There we go.
Yar!
You know what Boston is Scranton with clams.
I'll be honest, though. I am extremely jealous of...
Let me explain why Jim Schwartz is such a prick.
Finish the Schwartz thing.
Yeah, okay. So I was at this... He was the coach of the Lions at the time.
Right.
And you know how, you come back in the afternoon sometimes to interview people because they don't come around in the morning? Well, I went out... And I asked to interview him, and he was being such a prick that I thought he was kidding until I eventually interviewed him. And then when he was coaching the defense in Buffalo, he asked the team to carry him out of the stadium when they beat the Lions.
You remember that?
That's a violation.
Yeah. Golden Tate ripped on him. Like, all right, well, I guess he won a Super Bowl. Yeah.
So there are. So that was my
team. I'll go with you guys. You can't ask the team.
You pulled Anthony to your side on that one
to carry you out you off the field.
It was not. So that in long of short of it, I don't know if you're related to him or something, but that has been my experience with that's my experience with sports.
I'm just jealous of your fans. I'm not kidding either. And this is going to sound conceited. It's just what's happening right now in New England, is that when you guys won when the Eagles won the NFC Championship, I mean, there's these videos of the guys riding the dune buggies up the rocky steps and the guy running into the pole.
You know what it is? It's been so long. I mean, all kidding aside,
it's
right?
Awesome. It's awesome, so and I miss long. That.
I mean, you know what?
So your fans are getting complacent.
But there was not one video.
The Red Sox.
It's
that thirst that when the Red Sox finally win, it's the biggest thing in the world.
Put it this way: if the Patriots were to lose this game, because the stakes are so low right now. Like last year, it was like it was the Goodell thing, so everyone was into that. And then the year before that was so Brady's in the conversation for the greatest of all time with his four rings. This one, if they lose, you're not going to see one video of anyone in New England throwing their television off of a deck. It's really odd, to be honest. And so I'm kind of envious of what's going on in your city, because I think that we all wish that we could get that excited again.
Yeah, it's going to be like 70-30, I think, Philly fans.
No, it's not, because what's amazing is
you guys remember, you guys weren't, were you guys in Boston or one of you guys in Boston in 04 when the 05 Super Bowl?
We got in 2 years after that.
Okay, so you, in that Jacksonville that year, it was kind of, I mean, the dynasty was just beginning, but it was way more Eagle fans because the Eagles to us are the Red Sox to the Boston market. I mean, that's really akin to it. And I could see why you guys are going, you know, I'd like to have that feeling back. Here, it's really live and die. And it sweeps you in. You know how that sometimes works where you're so ingrained in this that you almost have to see it.
Sure. Well, the one thing that took us by surprise is that, you know, outside of New England, most people hate the Patriots. Just where, I mean, it's
most? I think all. No,
but at Media Day the other night when they brought the Patriots out the stage, it was awesome. It was like a hero's welcome. And then Nick Foles walks on stage and he gets booed merciless. And yeah. I'm like, all right, now we know where the locals, where they're
there's no question where they're going.
All the Vikings fans are rooting for the Patriots, and we're just not used to that. We're not used to being the good guys.
Let me ask you something real quick. Is there a tinge of maybe this Eagles team is really good and Patriot fans are a little worried that, you know, this isn't a year that they're going to pull off the magic.
No one thinks they're going to lose. They're a great opponent. I mean, put it this way. Nobody thinks this is like a walk in the park or anything, even with Nick Foles. But I don't think anyone's going in with like mass confidence. But
if Wentz was quarterback, it would be one thing. But with Foles, I don't think that many people think the Patriots.
Yeah.
Listen, it could be close, and it's just going to be another thing where, you know, it comes down to a possession or two, and you know, it's hard to have faith in Foles in those situations. I mean, Wentz is going to be great, but, you know, when he went down, and I'm sure you guys probably think fairly similarly that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, listen, I mean, when he went down, it was like it was over. I mean, I did not foresee anything like this happening with Nick Foles. It's been a great story. Are you guys, I don't know you guys, and I apologize. I don't know your guys' background, like, I was born and raised in Philadelphia, and I was a sports writer and left. But this Boston-Philadelphia thing has been since Bird Magic. Like, I grew up with Bird Doc, right? So Julius and the Celtics, I've always been jealous of the Celtics, of the Bruins. Like, this thing is deep. Do you guys have that feeling at all about Philadelphia?
No.
Yeah, see, I mean, this is just a yawn game for you guys. Yeah. This is like, yeah, whatever.
See, this is a whole part of a bigger stew for us. Like, it's a big deal.
No.
Like, Philadelphia. You know, we're cousin cities.
It's a much bigger
deal
in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's teams that piss off Patriots fans. No one thinks about Philadelphia. I mean, matter of fact, we're kind of rooting for Philadelphia during the season. It was a great story. And Chris Long's on there. Everyone liked Chris Long and LeGarrette Blount. I think people, you know, thought that he was going to, you know, succeed wherever he went. So there's no hatred towards the Eagles right now. It's very strange.
There's a lot of hatred to go around in Boston.
Yeah.
It's not towards Philadelphia. Right. There's a lot of hatred, but it's not towards Philadelphia.
I got you, boys. I guess you guys got to go to break. Listen, we're right here, so come say hi, all right?
All right.
Appreciate it, fellas.
We'll have a beer after the show.
All right. Well, yeah, there you go. I'll do one at 9 o'clock. There's nothing wrong with
but
that.
But no cheesesteaks. We've sworn off cheesesteaks. Yeah.
No clams. All right. No Sam Adams. All right, bud.
All right, take it easy. All right. Here is the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason. Who is this brought to you by? Danny O'Brien.
DiBella Law Office brings you the next Boomer Sports Minute.
All right. Thank you so much for the time.
Listen on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row. Presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich this hour of our Radio Row extravaganza is brought to you by Buick GMC. And Rich, I've seen this article as well. It's from the Philadelphia Inquirer, which is a reputable newspaper. I mean, it's the paper of record.
It's their version of the Globe.
In Philadelphia, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an article that is titled...
Oh, we got to call somebody.
Let's do that.
Hot take police. Hot take police.
It's idiotic. You're a moron.
All right, so this article, I know, Rich, I'll let you run it down because I'm not good at doing things like that. It's called Maybe It's No Coincidence That Aaron Hernandez's Tragedy Happened to Patriots. So right away, you're a man who is responsible for at least one murder.
Yes.
Most likely multiple.
Mm-hmm.
It is somehow the Patriots that made him, not any of his gang affiliations, the way he grew up, the people that he hung around, it was the Patriots, and all the other murderers on the Patriots, right. Which I cannot think of one off the top of my head. And you guys know me.
Yep.
I am not one. I love making fun of Hurley, even though I like him. I'm not one of these people that blindly stands here.
You're not defend the wall guy.
I'm not definitely not a defend the wall guy. But if this was like just on the internet, I'd be like, whatever. But the fact that this is in the paper of record in Philadelphia is irresponsible, sort of.
Okay, let's say, okay, so once again, the title of the article is Maybe It's No Coincidence That Aaron Hernandez's Tragedy Happened to Patriots. So you immediately see that, and you think of a million reasons why this is a ridiculous premise for an article.
Because even if it's that they drafted him, Rich, that has nothing to do with it.
Well,
the people he hung around had nothing to do with the Patriots organization. Someone to have murder, the ability to murder, is something I believe is inherent. I mean, like, you and I and Wallach aren't going to murder anyone intentionally in our lives. So there is,
save that clip.
Then you can really give me a Raz when I'm on death
row.
Boy,
were you wrong.
Okay, you can give me a Raz when I was on death row. But
guess what? You were wrong.
Yeah. But the idea that professional I've read only part of it. I know the reasons he's going to give.
Well, because that's the thing, is that if you see that headline, you think it's ridiculous already, but you're like, okay, maybe he's got one thing in here that'll make you go, well, now I at least know why he reached. Like, maybe
right.
There's one
He was
one
close
nugget.
To Bristol. He was right. Close to his old friend.
Okay, so it starts off. It says, the New England Patriots reside alone, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it says, the applause is all well-deserved, even if suspicions remain that their success has not always been on the up and up. Oh, Hurley's already writing a 1,000-word response. In addition to being adept at winning games and championships, the Patriots are also great at avoiding the things they want swept out of sight. Spygate and Deflategate fall into those categories. Yes, they wanted Deflategate to be swept away so much that they came up with an entire website called, what was it, the Wells Report Redacted or whatever?
Yeah, and by the way... And by the way, the things that go hand in hand.
Let's move this out of the way. We have a guest.
We have a guest that we've had on before.
Hey, there he is.
The great Brian Billick.
Brian Billick.
How are you?
It's always a pleasure, sir. I'm sure you remember me.
How's it going, Brian?
He joins us in the Big Y world-class market chair, Mr. Billick.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got I always feel so underdressed whenever the guys show up with the pocket squares and the suit.
He's pulling a Zolak for us.
That's right.
I'm a working stiff now, so I got to dress the part.
Brian Billick, of course, won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. He is one of the few people that can speak on accomplishing that. Were you surprised at the way Foles played in the NFC Championship?
You know, I thought Doug Peterson, for my money, should get Coach of the Year. Of course, Belichick should get it every year, but it's like, okay, we're not going to do that. It's, you know, he's done, been there, done that. Their ability to adapt. I went to a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback, but that transition took place in week 4 or 5, not in week 14.
And he was terrible, too.
No. not if I'm sitting here wearing this wing. I'm not saying
maybe
anything.
You should be coach of the century winning a quarterback that duffer.
No, he's saying I should be quarterback of the century winning a Super Bowl with that slappy Billick. But in week 14, to have to recraft your offense, and they did. And obviously, the strengths of what a Carson Wentz did compared to a Nick Foles. And it was a work in progress. We saw it good at times and little kind of working their way out. The RPOs. What they added was the explosive element against Minnesota, who's a pretty darn good defense now. That's as good a defense maybe as I've seen in the last 15 years since we had that record-setting defense in Baltimore. Got, you know, anchors in the middle with Linville Joseph and the linebacker and Barr coming off the edge and Harrison and Rhodes on. I mean, that team was built. Is built defensively. They're pretty darn good. Now, I know they had some injuries, but to add that explosive element, and that's going to be the key for Philadelphia. I've been saying all week, Philadelphia has all the elements, to beat the New England Patriots. They can do. They have the people to get pressure on Brady and hit him a minimum of a half a dozen times. Keep him low on third down conversion. Don't give up the big plays. Less than 50% in the red zone. All the analytics that you need. This is how you beat the Patriots. The problem is you got to do them all. Jacksonville found that they did it against Pittsburgh. You can't do 5 out of 6.
Yep.
You can't do 6 out of the 7. Mm-hmm. You got to do them all.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge for Philadelphia.
One of the strengths of Philadelphia is their depth on the defensive line.
Yes.
How much, and I got to believe the Patriots are going to try to play quick. How much can you negate the depth of a team's defensive line by playing quick?
Well, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how quick you play, how many plays do you. Really, playing quick with a team that can rotate its defensive linemen, not that that's not the right thing to do.
Right.
But if you're saying, okay, we're going to wear down the defensive line.
Right.
But if I got a stable of guys that I can roll through, now that negates that a little bit.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to wear them out because they'll just put the next group in.
Is that possible, though, if you're moving at that kind of pace?
It may not be within the series,
right.
But then the next series I'll put the other group in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes
sense. Now, that doesn't mean that's not a good course of action.
Sure,
The Patriots, if nothing, you have to admire the fact that no one morphs themselves into, if we got to throw it 50 times, throw it 50 times. Mm-hmm. If we got to slow it down, we'll slow it down. If we got to run it 40 times, we'll run it 40 times. No, very few teams can adapt. You know, it's one thing to come in and the coach says, okay, we're going to change this up, but your team's not used to it. The Patriot players come in and they know, okay, what are we this week? They're the chameleon, and they're trained for it. They're ready for it. Oh, okay, we're going to throw it 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to run it 45 times this game, which linemen love, you know. But that's okay. That's what it is this week, and they're conditioned for it. They're trained for it, and that's a huge advantage for them.
Now, you had one of the better defensive players in our generation, in Ray Lewis, on your team. Did you ever look at him and go, jeez, Ray, not another speech. Well, enough of these speeches. Or at some point go, I don't understand what you're saying, but you said it with gravitas. And
Sure. You know, it was interesting. Ray, I'm asked about Ray probably as much as anything. And my a little probably like Tom Brady. And I don't know this because I don't know Tom that well. But with Ray, what you see on Sunday, that's what you get every day. Every meeting, every weight session, every practice. And you have to respect that. Now, yeah, I can wear players out. I will ask you. You know, I've seen some of the players.
Mike Flynn works on our radio station.
Oh, yeah. When Mike, you know, when it would be the dog, you know, you guys going, yeah, okay. We let the dogs out later. Yeah.
Flynn said he probably listened to about 1 or 5% of the words that came out of Ray Lewis's mouth.
But I will tell you my favorite Ray Lewis story. We're playing in that year where we were, one of the things, we were going for the all-time shutout record, which the defense wanted. And I used to run the scout teams. Because that was my way of really integrating to seeing what we were doing. And it allowed me to touch every player every day. You know, keep you ingrained with your team. So I'm working the cards. And so I'm facing that defense every day. And we're playing Cleveland. They're terrible. And so, we're going to keep the energy up. They were focused. Because they wanted the shutout. They wanted to add to the record. So we're going to kill these guys.
Yeah.
And Spurgeon Wynn was the quarterback or whatever. They come out. They go 86 yards in the opening drive. We're at home. And score. So we're like stunned. So I'm going to walk down towards, they're coming off the field, the defense is, and I'm going to do my head coaching thing. And Ray looks at me respectfully, because he's an incredibly respectful player. He goes, don't say a thing, I got it. So I take a hard left to the Gatorade and get the hell out of the way. And Ray, we gave up 86 yards in that first drive. We gave up 112 yards total on the day.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That was that. The next 3.5 quarters was amazing to watch. Now, I don't know what he told those guys. But that speech.
I won't do another speech.
Yeah,
if you
right.
guys
yeah.
hold these
that's
guys
right.
that, that 30 speech. Yards or less.
That speech.
The moon and the tree, and there's a milkshake.
I'm just naming things that are around me with a loud voice. But you being in a position like what's going on with we're talking to Brian Billick. What's going on with Mike Tomlin this year is interesting because obviously he's he's 2-1. He's one on the big stage, but there's stories that have come out about. At the end of the season, Le'Veon Bell not showing up until 5 minutes before the walkthrough was done against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then, there's stories about certain assistant coaches either showing up late or not being on time, letting the players show up all the way up to 2 hours before a game starts. How do you balance that? Like, how do you balance being a player's coach and giving them a little leeway and letting them walk all over you?
Well, and if that is true, and we don't know, there's always the truth lies somewhere in between. this has progressively become a league of dealing with. My son-in-law plays for the Detroit Pistons. And being in an NBA locker room and that dynamic and everything that goes involved, much more intimate than an NFL locker room, and the hangers-on and the things you have to deal with. In the NFL, we're kind of moving that way, but you can't. You know, I was the guy that didn't have a lot of rules. Remember, I was the guy that had no bed check, no curfew, all the way through the Super Bowl. People thought, because my philosophy was always, look, you act like a man, I'll treat you like a man. You act like a child, I'll treat you like a child. But at the end of the day, they have to take ownership of that and make sure that they toe the line, having been given the advantage. I'll tell you one of the things I used to do when I first training camp. I said, "Okay, I let my players go home because you sleep better at home."
Right.
I said, but the very first time, guys, I start to get guys coming in. You're late for me. You know, I don't care if it's flat tire, or whatever. Late for meetings, miss a workout, for God forbid, whatever. Then I'm pulling all your butts back in, and we're going to put you back in the hotel. And then you go tell Ray Lewis why he can't go home tonight. I did that for 10 years, did not have one. Okay, so that, but that's legitimate. That's okay. The veterans, when you have a veteran base, they know, guys, we got it pretty good here. So let's don't screw this up. And if you let that spin out of control and let some knuckleheads take advantage of that, then you're right. You're heading down a path that's got you don't want to go down that
path. That's a style you couldn't get away with if you didn't have those veteran guys, right?
Oh, absolutely, because you have to have. But by the same token, keep in mind, I always call it the Coughlin syndrome. Tom Coughlin, when they're winning, what is Tom Coughlin? What's the description? Authoritative, firm, captain of the ship.
Yep.
You know, when he's losing, rigid, same guy doing the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. So it's all looked through the prism of winning or losing. You know, Bill Belichick, greatest coach in the history of the game. And like a Ray Lewis, I got to believe, and I don't know Bill that well, but what we see on Bill after the games, that's Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's Bill through and through. You can't fake that. You got to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
To take that approach. Yeah.
Do you think his style, you could pull that off if you're another coach? Because I know everyone's trying. Because the way he's able to give the, I guess players look at him and say, the guy's won before. So I will subscribe to anything he says. But if you're somebody who's like an assistant that used to work with him and you try to pull that,
you've
I don't see it working.
Time and time again.
Yep.
And it's not just people that come from Bill's system. You see a lot of coaches that go, well, look, he's at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to be like that. Whoa, 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 whoa. You got to get a lot of notches on that belt before you can stand up and say, you know, this is the way I'm going to deal with it. You got to earn that. And Bill certainly has.
Mm-hmm.
And to think you can just show up and start doing that, you better win a lot of games, because if not, that's a very short leash and people going, hey, you got 6 Super Bowls, 7 Super Bowls, we'll put up with that. Until you get one of those, you're out of here.
Well, before we let you go, you got any good Mike Flynn stories?
Well, I got to know this real quick. Who's your son-in-law on the Pistons?
Oh, yeah. John Lure.
Okay.
Yeah, he just had
a
season-ending ankle injury.
Oh,
ankle
so
injury. But I got to clean up that in there. But it's been interesting to kind of get drawn into that world a little bit.
Sure.
Stan Van Gundy, great guy.
I love Stan.
And an old school coach, which is different in the NBA.
Very sweaty.
He was in, he was in Phoenix before. And it was, so it's interesting to see the dynamic. Not that I'm that close to it or drawn into it, but getting to know my son-in-law better and just talking the mechanics of it's been interesting.
Yeah. So Mike Flynn, I need something on him. He's a friend of ours.
I believe you called him a grandmother at one point.
Well, yeah, he's an old woman. He always had that sour. Why are we doing this? You're whiny, you know. And
he's the same way now. Yeah.
And you look at that body, I play pro football, and I go, really?
Yeah.
It's like, you're essentially... let me see the union card. I'm not buying this, you know.
Yeah. Not big on the weights anymore. All right. So tell us about SeatGeek.
Yeah, I mean, if you're obviously fans, New England fans want to come to the game, you go to SeatGeek.com. They got this unbelievable. Go to SeatGeek.com/Super Bowl ticket tracker. And it's like buying stocks. They got all the matrix. They got the last few years. You know, it's all about timing.
Uh-huh.
Now, do I wait till Friday? How long before the game if I'm looking for tickets? Best thing is 100% ticket guaranteed. And how about this? You put in promo code COACHSB. You get $250 back on a purchase. Doesn't have to be first time. Nice. Of tickets to the Super Bowl. When did Belichick ever give you $250?
Oh, never.
All right,
I've never met the man, but I'm sure he would.
You guys are going to appreciate this because I get it's and it's great. You know, I don't mind it. If as I'm in the airport I'm talking about even if I'm in Baltimore,
uh-huh.
people will come up and just, oh, coach, you're my favorite. I love you. Coach Belichick, would you sign?
So you obviously never wear a suit outside of media day.
Or smile.
I go, okay. One of us ought to be offended, and it's probably Bill. So.
You're walking around with John Bon Jovi. That's why.
Yeah, that's right.
You should say, I'm talking to you. That immediately makes
disqualifies me. I think Bill's doing something else right there.
All right, Brian Billick, thank you so much for the time.
All right, guys.
It's always a pleasure. I'm sure you remember us, like I said.
Oh, absolutely.
And everyone go to SeatGeek. Here are the headlines.
All right, guys.
From the food court at Mall of America, Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what are some things we did not get to today?
By the way, the articles are coming in fast and furious. I'm reading one right now from The Atlantic titled, Ben Franklin Would Have Been an Eagles Fan.
Did you read it? It's got to be a joke.
And to that I say, well, listen, that's all well and good, but Abraham Lincoln had a Flying Elvis tramp stamp. So take that and smoke it.
Mm.
Fictional character speculation.
No, baby.
But not speculation was a report from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network we had on before, and everyone's wanting to know, how long is this Tom Brady thing going to last in New England? And to that he says, as long as Tom Brady wants it. Here is Ian Rappaport on when Brady could possibly no longer be a member of the Patriots.
He's saying enough that the Patriots feel confident in kind of where he is. From my understanding, the Patriots trust that Tom Brady will know when it is time to hang him up. He will know and say, all right, I am not the Tom Brady I used to be. I'm not playing at that level. It is now time to walk away and kind of give way to the successor, who, by the way, we don't know who that is. I would expect the Patriots to draft one this year, next year, certainly as quickly as they can possibly identify one. But one thing we know, Mike, the Patriots are not trading Tom Brady. They are not going to release Tom Brady. This is going to be something where he is going to get with them and decide it is time to walk away. Sounds like it's going to be at least a couple more years, which means obviously the Patriots need to get going and try to find the next Brady.
Well, that's refreshing news. I thought that they were immediately going to get rid of Brady this offseason.
Well, he's no good anymore, you know.
After the MVP year of the Super Bowl. B.J. Graham?
Gannum.
Gannum, I'm sorry. Yeah. B.J. Gannum brought over to us. You were a local guy. You were from Nantucket, I'm told.
No, I'm not from Nantucket. I actually from Savannah, Georgia, originally.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time in Boston. I was on the ground 5 days after the bombs went off. And a bunch of other wounded guys from the Iraq-Afghanistan war from the Semper Fi Fund. We came out and we forged some great relationships with all the Boston Marathon survivors in the city.
Okay.
And really, I ran the Boston Marathon with Patrick Downs 2 years ago. Or excuse me, last year, 2016, it's 2018, right? Yeah. But I have a nonprofit, it's called Sierra Delta, is headquartered in Nantucket, along with Holidays for Heroes. So Sierra Delta focuses on all the service dogs, networking all the different current providers and giving that single source access for veterans to get the information and the support they need to get that tool. And then Holidays for Heroes, we bring the veterans and their families out to Nantucket for a respite. And then we also, with that program, we have the American Dream Grant, where people on Nantucket help mentor young veterans to become entrepreneurs. Like, why should these guys and gals beg for a job mm-hmm. when they're qualified enough to run a small company?
Sure. Now, you have a prosthetic leg.
Yes, sir.
And now, is that, you mentioned the marathon, and you also mentioned your service. How did you lose your leg?
Thanksgiving night of 2004, as a Marine Corps infantryman, and was hit by an IED. Took my left foot, left leg below the knee, killed my gunner Ryan Contafio. If you see on my leg, I have the initials that spells out CROWS, and that stands for Contafio, Rainey, O'Donnell, Warrens, and Simon, the five guys that we lost from our unit in Iraq in 2004.
First of all, thank you for your service.
My best job I ever had.
And do you remember the heroes, the people who got you out of harm's way after that was done?
I was awake for the whole thing. There was a small ambush that happened. My unit, we responded great. There's not a force on the planet that can meet the United States military force. So we all did exactly what we were trained to do, squelled that. They got me to safety, and unfortunately, my career was over. That was the hardest part. I didn't mind so much losing the leg and learning how to walk again, and trying to figure out my life. What really bothered me is that my one and only combat deployment, I didn't finish. You know, we've got men and women that have done upwards of 8, 9, 10 combat deployments. You know, there's only been 3 million people that have served since 9/11 in a country of 330 million. So you got a lot of the same people going back over again. And, you know, everybody should know it's a fight worth fighting. Mm-hmm. You should be proud of your military and the actions that they have, even though there has been some bad eggs here and there. I guess every population has their 10%, right? But the everyday actions that are going on, that are still going on to this day, America should be proud of.
The men that you fought with, that's a bond that civilians will never be able to understand, to be able right. to go through what you guys went through.
Well, I was in a fraternity.
Listen, I played Dungeons and Dragons with three other people. It's exactly the same thing. See. No, but is there a way to try to put it into words what it's like to have these brothers that you fought with and how your relationship still continues even after it's all done and over with?
Well, you know, what's funny is that the Boston Marathon survivors have just, you know, so Patrick and Jessica, they were at Walter Reed getting care.
Yeah.
All these men and women that were injured by that horrible blast have just been adopted into our family.
Oh, that's
across
great.
The country. And you talk to vets, and we talk to them like we talk to each other. And so they know, they felt they've been a part of that fire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
Did you approach them, or did somebody reach out to you guys?
No, we approached them. We saw it happen. I remember I was in New York at a Disabled Sports USA event, and I saw the news, and I was like, this shouldn't be happening here.
Yeah.
You know, we went over there so that it stays in their backyard. And so we called... at the time, I was working for the Semper Fi Fund, and I called my CEO, Karen Gunther, and she agreed. And Gabe Martinez, another Marine that's a double amputee, he had called her as well, and... So five of us, she got us plane tickets, and we just showed up in Boston. We had no idea how we were going to be recepted, how we were going to be received. And we walked into Mass General first, and the nurses and the doctors just started breaking down crying right away because we were walking in on our prosthetic legs.
Yeah.
We had Josh Sharp, who was in a wheelchair, and they told us that the minute they saw us, they knew that these people were going to be okay, because they didn't know. They hadn't dealt with this type of trauma.
Sure, yeah.
And we went bedside with everybody, and I was expecting a lot of civilians, like, you know, crying, why me, why this happened, I don't want this to happen. And from the moment, each one of these individuals were just like, I'm going to get through this, they're not going to win. You know, having the same mentality that we do. Plus, you know, just you Boston folk are just a different breed in the first place, right up there in New England.
You did see the best of people.
That's right.
Time,
that's right.
You know, we can be a-holes, but that's around right. that time, we can be okay.
It was one moment in time.
Well, I've been back a lot. Yeah. You know, every we all can be a-holes at time, and that's just part of having a balanced life. But, you know, you guys are a special place. Plus, you got a special team, right?
Yeah, they're all right.
Right.
Yeah, it's getting old.
Yeah, that's right. Are you guys sick of winning yet?
Almost.
Because I remember when Boston won the first World Series, we were in Iraq.
Right.
And actually, we had heard that Houston had won. Like, for 3 days after the World Series was over. Like,
was
way back before they had... We were living under their bridge, so we were getting information from just contractors coming by, and somebody's like, yeah, Houston won the World Series. We're like, huh, that's weird. And then, literally, when I get to the hospital, I realize, no, Boston actually won.
And you still didn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, no,
there's no
did
way.
Did I die?
Alternate
universe.
I just want to know, where do you get Nantucket red shorts with American flags on them? I mean, that is...
This is Castaway clothing, man. It's right out of Nantucket. There's a great, great group of guys. They have beer glasses on their shorts. And I've got another pair from them that has little military jeeps with flags. So I play golf with Team 43. And President Bush, I was one of the guys that he painted in the Portraits of Courage.
Uh-huh.
And he's always making fun of my shorts. You know, it's great. I mean, it's an awesome Made in America, and you know, representing America.
All right, so how do people get in touch with your organization?
So we got SierraDelta.com, your HolidaysForHeroes.com. We have the Wounded War EMT football team, which is our game is tonight at Concordia University. So if you guys are free, come on out. We have so many NFL stars that are be coming out and playing. Charles Haley will be there. I'll be with Charles Haley here today going on Radio Row. We'll have Eller. We'll have Joe Andruzzi will be here.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a big supporter
yeah.
of us.
Yeah.
So we play flag football against NFL alums. We just had a game in New England in November. At Xavier Brothers, and Drew Bledsoe was there, and
my
quarterback. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah, I actually broke my foot off completely. Just see the video.
So
I was in a backpack.
Your prosthetic foot snapped off?
My prosthetic foot snapped completely off.
Oh, my God.
Looked like I stepped in a hole.
With your arm size, it's very intimidating. Yeah. And so, but thanks for all the good works that you do, and hopefully people get in touch with your organizations, and we really appreciate you coming by.
I appreciate all the support. I mean, you guys have been amazing. Media and just regular civilians. You know, it's been amazing the support that we've had coming back from this global war on terrorism. There's still more to do. We still got to reach out to our Vietnam brethren that still deserve it, and all the other 21.8 million vets that they're still alive.
Well, thanks for your service, man.
Thank you, guys.
We really appreciate it. And that will do it for us today. We have Zoe and Bertrand up next. We're going to Paisley Park. Everyone, have a wonderful day. That'll do it for us. Bye.